What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. Last day of May. Tomorrow is the first day of June. My, how time flies when you're trying to stop a world war. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Quick little program reminder, this next Monday, Gilad Atzmon will be our third hour guest, talking about his recent concert tour. Fabulous jazz musician, his lecture series on identity politics, talking about his new book, which I have unfortunately misplaced, so I can't. Oh, there it is. Being in Time. It's a very good book. It's now available for sale. So we'll be talking about all of that kind of stuff. All right, getting on into the news, the Seth Rich story is not going away despite the best efforts of the corporate media and the Democrats and Hillary trying to ridicule it, dismiss it, say there's nothing there. Even Snopes is on board saying, oh, this is tinfoil hat, kook, wingnut, conspiracy wacko time. And, of course, it's getting a tremendous amount of coverage on the independent media. It's getting a tremendous amount of coverage in the foreign media. And it seems it's only the U.S. corporate media that is really trying to pretend that there's no story here. But, again, you need to get on back to the Seth Rich story. Seth Rich being the leak, the source of the DNC emails leaked to WikiLeaks, completely exposes the corporate media and the Democratic Party and the Hillary campaign for lying to you for month after month about Russia hacked the DNC servers. And there is zero evidence for it. Noam Chomsky came out with an article today saying that the whole world knows this is just a Russiagate. It's just a made-up piece of fluff, and they're all laughing at us for the sheer, utter nonsense that is going on about this. The Democrats, corporate media, Hillary's campaign, they basically bet the farm on selling you that evil Russia hacked their servers. And it was all based on one claim by this one company hired by the DNC, who have now backed off and said, no, we didn't find anything at all. And meanwhile, of course, the FBI never got to look at the DNC servers to do a forensic analysis. The CIA didn't. NSA didn't. Nobody got to look. Nobody got to look. It was all just, take our word for it, it's the Russians, and that's a tall order in the aftermath of whoppers like Saddam's nuclear weapons and Assad's sarin gas and so forth and so on. So a lot of people are still paying attention to this, and on the other side, they're still screaming, oh, it was the Russians, it was the Russians, it was the Russians. So we ran a little poll on whatreallyhappened.com today. Who gave the DNC emails to WikiLeaks? Russia got just 2%. Seth Rich got 98%. So at this point, the public opinion is very much in line with the available evidence, and they're not buying into the propaganda anymore. Noam Chomsky, speaking of Noam Chomsky, had a BBC interview, and he came out and just said flat out, Bernie Sanders would have won the Democratic nomination last year if it hadn't been for the shenanigans of the party managers. And that is absolutely true. It almost seems like every 3 or 4 days there's another revelation of detected vote fraud last year, all of it favoring Hillary Clinton. We now know that one of the issues surrounding Seth Rich was some shenanigans with duplicate voting locations that were used to harvest Hillary ballots and then substitute them from Bernie ballots at the real official polling places. This is coming from Seth Rich's girlfriend. And it may have been that during the primaries, that may have been what motivated Seth Rich to say, I got to do something about this. And he started grabbing the emails and walking them out of the DNC headquarters, probably on flash drives. He wouldn't have used the net. Now, the good news is that the sponsors who walked out on Sean Hannity's show over his shocking claim that Seth Rich was the DNC leaker, they are now coming on back. They're reading the popular opinion. They're seeing which way the wind is blowing, and the wind is basically blowing towards Seth Rich was the DNC leak. And they're starting to come back to Hannity's show. USAA is now back. They're coming back on board. And so that's good news for Sean Hannity, because he's one of the few people in the corporate media who's trying to deal with this story on a factual basis. Now, interestingly enough, Senator Doug Collins has called James Comey on his allowing Hillary to skate on Title 18 felony violations by saying she did not intend to do wrong, by pointing out cases where there were military people, Marines and servicemen, accidentally revealed classified documents they did not do intend to do wrong, and they actually did a lot less than Hillary, and still they got prosecuted. And so Senator Collins is saying, why the double standard? Why the selective enforcement? Now, everybody's talking about how James Comey is going to testify next week publicly, and already the word is he's going to go on out there and say, oh, yes, Donald Trump interfered with the investigation, even though he testified under oath that no such interference had actually happened after the period of time when it is now being claimed Trump tried to interfere. So we're back to the same old model of the U.S. government and the corporate media. If at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. And I'm hoping that the Congressional Committee is going to turn to Comey and say, do you have any documentation about this, or is it just your word? And, of course, Comey's going to pop up and say, well, I'm the former FBI director. Of course you will take my word. Actually, being the former director of the FBI is a good reason not to take anybody's word about anything. We're going to do a quick shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And again, you need to go back and look at the real history of the FBI, not the wonderful people who are portrayed on TV shows and feature films like Silence of the Lambs. I'm talking about going back and studying the history of COINTELPRO, studying the history of the framing of James Earl Ray. Because there's a lot of material out there that shows what the FBI is really all about. Now, there is another issue that is coming on up, and this is about Carter Page. Now, Carter Page was the American oil industry consultant, and he was briefly associated with Donald Trump's presidential campaign he was briefly a foreign policy advisor, and he basically was the focus of the acquisition of the FISA warrant that was used to try and retroactively legalize the illegal spying on Trump's campaign. And now Carter Page is out there saying that everything that was said about him to get that FISA warrant was not only absolutely false, it was highly damaging to his reputation. And now he wants to try and testify before Congress about how that happened. So to nobody's surprise, the Democrats are now demanding that Carter Page's testimony be put on indefinite hold. They don't want him getting up there talking. They do not want him talking. The request of Democrats postponed indefinitely. And by the way, that's not the only strange situation about witnesses. That whole Russiagate invasion being run by Nunes, they haven't interviewed a single witness. All they're doing is rehashing the rumors and innuendo and that already discredited dossier from Moscow. And the corporate media is still trying to be loyal, and it is beginning to cost them. Now, a lot of people have commented here on the show that Fox News has all of a sudden started shifting back toward the left. They're becoming just another CNN, MSNBC, and they are starting to pay the price because they're losing advertiser demographics to MSNBC this month. They're falling behind CNN and MSNBC in the ratings. Now, Fox is trying to blame that it was all because of the loss of Bill O'Reilly. But if Fox News is not out there serving as a balance and check on the liberally biased media, then people are just going to tune them out. Now, as for Bill O'Reilly, I guess he's decided that he's not planning on coming back to the corporate media anytime soon because he's now out there starting to say what's really been going on in the corporate media. He did an interview over at Breitbart, and he was basically saying that all of this talk about a crisis in the White House, it was all made up by the corporate media. They're just out there trying to run any story that makes it look like the Trump White House is in chaos, that it's in trouble, that Trump can't effectively govern. This is Bill O'Reilly who's now out there saying this is what's been going on. And there's a lot of shakeups going on in the corporate media. Scott Pelley is now out at the CBS Evening News. He was the anchor, and now apparently, according to CNN Money, he is being shown the door. Now, over the last few days, a lot of people were very upset over Kathy Griffin, who claims to be a comedian, although I personally did not find her that funny. But she toes the liberal agenda, and she gets a lot of work, or should I say past tense, got a lot of work, because she came out with this photo holding a bloody head, ISIS style, and the head was made to look like Donald Trump, which is definitely crossing a line. And there was a huge backlash from both sides of the aisle. Liberals are appalled by what she did. Conservatives are appalled by what she did. CNN has now announced they've terminated Kathy Griffin, who normally co-hosts their New Year's show and does some segments. That was followed up with the MGM Resorts saying that Kathy Griffin will not be doing her stand-up comedy routine at any of their resorts anytime in the near future. So the backlash is really hitting her. Plus, she's got the Secret Service now down on her for having done that photo. And it was tasteless. And yes, there's a First Amendment, but sometimes with the freedom of the First Amendment, you have to have a sense of responsibility over what you're doing. There have to be guidelines, ethics, and morals. Here at whatreallyhappened.com, we never encourage violence. We don't suggest it. We don't go into personal attacks against the people we don't like. And the families are definitely off limits. Those are rules that keep us focused on the fact-based news that you all need to have to make those good choices. And what we're seeing over on the liberal side, because they don't really have anything they can get Trump for, there's no evidence of the Russian collusion. So all they've got are personal attacks and smears. And that's what led Kathy Griffin into making this serious career misstep. Now, speaking of the corporate media not having really learned their lessons, as you know, there was an unfortunate incident where Tiger Woods got arrested on a DUI. And there's going to be some clarification about that shortly. But apparently when ESPN, which has a very cozy relationship with Tiger Woods, when they ran the story, they photoshopped his mugshot to put him against a much more pleasing background without all the little lines that say how tall he is, and they smoothed over his very ruffled hair. And it's a minor thing, but it's another illustration that the corporate media likes to fool around with the stories. Now, with regard to Tiger Woods, he was arrested for the DUI because he refused a breathalyzer, and the police were saying he was acting belligerent, but he was released on his own recognizance, and the last word we have is there was no alcohol in his system. They did force him to take a blood alcohol test. It came back zero. Apparently, what Tiger Woods is saying, that he had a mix of medications that he was under that made him drive like a dangerous maniac and then behave with belligerence toward the police officer. And we know how certain prescription psychiatric medications, antidepressants, can trigger very bizarre behavior. So on this one, I'm willing to give Tiger Woods the benefit of the doubt, knowing what I know about these medications. So I just wanted to throw that in there because they say, oh, DUI, and it's going to tarnish his reputation. At this point, it doesn't look like it was. And hopefully Tiger Woods will be back to doing what Tiger Woods does here. Getting on to the international news here, Trump is ramping up his criticism of Germany, and Angela Merkel is still out there saying that her country, Germany, needs to adopt a more independent stance in world affairs. So we're starting to see these hints coming out of Angela Merkel that Germany is starting to strain at that European Union leash the way Great Britain did, and we're hearing so many of those other countries, they really would rather be out of the EU. Now, the big news today is there was a major explosion in Kabul, Afghanistan, supposedly in what is considered a safe area. It was a car bomb. They're claiming it was a suicide bomb, although we don't know if the car was set off by remote control. But it killed at least 80 people, wounding more than 300. That was a really huge amount of explosives. And somebody's trying to make a point over there. Meanwhile, the U.S. Air Force has tripled the number of airstrikes across Afghanistan since last year, trying to get it back under control. They really have not taken complete control of Afghanistan. They've got 8,000 U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan, and they still cannot get it under control, which is why they call Afghanistan the graveyard of empires. Now, the U.S. and its puppet regime are in control of what are considered the more important areas of Afghanistan, the oil pipeline right-of-way, and those poppy fields. But getting on over to the eastern part, the mountainous part, it's very, very difficult. And they still have not won in Afghanistan. In fact, it looks like they're losing. Getting on down to Syria, things are still ramping up over there. The Syrian army is advancing in Deir ez-Zor against the ISIS forces. Meanwhile, the U.S. is now arming the Syrian militants on the border with Iraq to block the popular forces from taking control of that border. There's a big fight coming up over that border, because remember, that border between Syria and Iraq, that area on both sides is where the U.S. wants to carve out the future Kurdistan. United Nations is warning that the protracted war in Yemen has led to social, economic, and institutional collapse. They're saying urgent action is required. Yemen is in the midst of a humanitarian crisis. They've got 7 million people on the brink of famine. They also have this outbreak of cholera that's killed 500 people so far. The United Nations is expecting 150,000 cases in the next 6 months. I'll tell you the urgent action that needs to be done first. Stop the war. Just stop all these wars. All the suffering we're hearing about, humanitarian crisis, starvation, famine, are all the result of all these wars taking place across the face of the globe. Now, yesterday we were talking about this little bit of a whoopsie or upset over in South Korea, because the newly elected president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, was apparently surprised to find out the U.S. had installed 4 additional terminal high-altitude area defense missile systems. And he wanted to know just how that came about, where he was the last one to know. And South Korea's investigation has found out that apparently South Korea's military brass knew about it and deliberately kept him in the dark. So now Moon Jae-in is facing the fact that his own military is going rogue and working with the U.S. government. I imagine there are about to be some demotions and terminations over this, because allowing more arms into South Korea was definitely not on the new president's agenda. He wants the arms to get out. He wants the U.S. to get out. He's already talking about a summit with Kim Jong-un to try and get reunification back on track. Now, a lot of stuff is happening over in Egypt. You know, there was the bombing of the Coptic Christians. There's been some retaliations. And apparently Egypt is deciding that they need to sort of take firmer control of what the people know. And so they're starting to block more newspapers and websites, imposing a media blackout. And apparently Egypt has blocked access to a number of news websites, including Al Jazeera and Huffington Post Arabic. And this is following similar actions by its Gulf allies Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. So we're seeing all these nations descend under a silicon curtain. If you're my age, you remember the Iron Curtain. Well, it's the silicon curtain. We have way too many governments around the world who understand that their populations are waking up to just how much governments lie to people to trick them out of their money, their obedience, and life and limb of their children. And it has become a problem for governments. When they lose that ability to lie to their people effectively and with impunity, they lose control. And keeping control is always the number one priority of any ruling body. Everything else is subordinate to maintaining control. Up in Norway, their equivalent to the CIA is pushing a plan to unleash Facebook police. They want to make sure that Facebook is politically correct and doctrinally correct. So we're starting to see the ugly head of censorship rear over the global internet. It's a little late, but it's starting to happen. We'll be back after these few words.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go ahead and grab a phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Michael. So I heard you talking about it. I think you're absolutely correct about what's going on in the Philippines right now with Duterte and him starting to chart a more independent course, and I think the ISIS activity is exactly the blueprint of us trying to overthrow him, or at least threatening to overthrow him. But what I also want to discuss that in the same vein, that China, with its burgeoning economy and the gravitational pull that it's both its growing economy and its growing military is exerting versus our shrinking economic influence and our shrinking military influence. We've got to hold this empire together. We can't allow Duterte to go, but we also, I think Korea is actually the linchpin, because if Korea goes, Mike, and if there's a detente between North and South Korea, then if there's no need for U.S. troops, of course they'll want us out, as you're just talking about with the Thad. And then China will be the preeminent influence, great power influence over Korea. And then without that, without the threat of North Korea, then Japan will follow suit and be pulled into China's orbit as well. And it may be even Australia or New Zealand. which leaves only an alliance with India to carry the balance for us. So
I agree, and that's why I'm expecting they're either going to try and assassinate South Korea's president and get somebody more militant in there, or the U.S. is going to stage a false flag and say, oh, my goodness, North Korea sank the Ronald Reagan. The war is on, because you're absolutely right. We're seeing the United States is a failing empire. It's failing economically. It's looking more and more like our military is more illusion than substance, and that the invincibility of the American military forces may be more of a myth. I mean, we saw how that cruise missile attack Trump sent in to Syria, most of those cruise missiles missed their actual target. The Moab bomb turned out to not be as powerful as they were saying. Yesterday, they were celebrating this tremendous success of the ICBM Interceptor. And the reason they were celebrating is because they've had such a long string of failures. Plus, we know about all the problems with the Zumwalt destroyer, the Gerald R. Ford, the F-22, the F-35, the littoral combat ships. It's more like our military is more of a presentation, long on impressive-looking machinery and very short on actual performance. And I'll tell you, one of the things right now that we have, if the U.S. gets into a major fight with somebody who's really capable of fighting back, and they suffer a major loss, that's going to be the beginning of the end, because it turned out the Soviet Union's military might was more illusion than substance. And when they lost in Afghanistan, that was the end of the myth of the invincible Soviet military, and it all began falling apart after that. And the U.S. is in kind of the same position right now.
You know, Mike, I saw something curious, and I may have seen it on What Really Happened, but where the United States Army is taking pre-positioned combat equipment that we had for rapid, you know, aerial reinforcement, and they just hop in these units that are already unit sets that you just drive off. They're drawing down the stocks in South Korea to create a 16th. We have 15 maneuver brigades right now to make a 16th for whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's not going to be in Korea. And I'm wondering what that means. I looked at that. I'm going, well, I mean, how afraid can they be if they're drawing down those stocks? I mean, of North Korea. I think obviously you've talked about that many times. There's really nothing to fear, but it may be a tacit admission that we're not going to be there very long with the THAAD thing, your old analogy of the Roman legions in Germania and all that stuff. That, yep. You know. But it's curious that happened. Did I see that on What Really Happened? I think it was out of the Army Times.
Yeah, I think we ran that story here. But what is really significant, tell you what, stay on the line, Peter. We're going to come back to this right after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Twisted steel was swept away. Did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Peter in Los Angeles. And Peter, I think there's another aspect about how the U.S. forces are now starting to take equipment out of these pre-positioned stockpiles, if you were. And the U.S. has these set up all over the world, pre-positioned military assets. So all they have to do is fly the troops in, the troops hop into the vehicles, and they roll off and they kill a bunch of people. The fact that they're starting to go on in and take resources from these, I think, indicates that overall U.S. military stockpiles are starting to run low. There was an article that came out a couple of weeks ago saying that Donald Trump is dropping so many bombs he's running out of bombs, which of course meant more money going to the military contractors and their stocks went up. But I think the problem may be more serious than they're letting on, because if you go back to when General Wesley Clark blew the whistle on this whole period of conquest of the Middle East, It was all supposed to end with the conquest of Iran in 2008. And obviously, this being 2017, they've gone much longer and had to use up much more material than they were originally planning. As we mentioned earlier in the show, they're still in Afghanistan trying to win there. They're bogged down in Iraq. They're still bogged down in Syria, Libya, Yemen. And I think the reality is that they're starting to run out of key materials. They're going through them faster than they can be replaced. That's why they're starting to strip these pre-positioned brigades, if you will.
You know, Mike, I another crying, you know, need is that we've, you know, you keep reading these stories about how the Army and the Marine Corps have lost, you know, billions of dollars worth of small arms and equipment and so on, which is really not loss, it's being transferred to the terrorists.
Yes.
And now we're in Syria, especially where it's reaching the point where it's taking massive infusions and a new Kurdish army that maybe we need it there. But I can remember speaking with you way back saying even the beginning back in 03, back in like 05 or something, that the United States military was having to buy billions of rounds of ammunition, 5.56 ammunition, from Brazil and Taiwan and Israel, because our manufacturing capability, even in a really low-intensity war where barely anybody was shooting back, of course, except our terrorists. I guess they shoot a lot. We couldn't sustain even small arms ammunition manufacture. That's how bad it was.
Well, you know, after all the gun grabbers' attack on the gun industry and trying to put these companies out of business, then all of a sudden the U.S. Army needs them, and they didn't have enough time to rebuild that capability, so that's why they had to go to these other countries and buy up all this ammunition. And they did buy a huge amount of ammunition. They were also buying .223, and a lot of gun rights advocates were wondering if the government was trying to disarm the American people simply by buying up all the ammunition. But as it turns out, they were building up in advance for all of these wars of conquest. But they've gone through it all. Anybody who's served on the front line is going to tell you the supplies they go right through your hands like running water. There's a lot of genuine loss along with this transfer to the terrorists. But it feels to me, if they're starting to hit these pre-positioned combat units, that tells me that overall the U.S. military stockpiles are starting to run low, and that is a serious, serious crisis.
Yeah, it really is, Mike. Hey, I know you got other callers. Thanks very much, Guy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Laura in Michigan. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Last week you were talking about the Sarnoff brothers, that friend of theirs that was questioned by the FBI and got shot.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you a story. James Nichols and I were at a farm meeting, but he told me the story. After the Oklahoma bombing, of course, the FBI came to his house, the brother's house, James.
Yes.
And, you know, swarmed the whole house and everything and got whatever guns and whatever. And then James said, they said, is this all the guns in the house? And James said, no, I have a gun up in my bedroom under my pillow. And they said, go ahead and go get it. And James told me, he said, I started up the stairs. I went three or four stairs. And I thought, wait a minute. I come down these stairs with that gun, and they're going to blast me.
Yep.
He turned around and he said, you guys get the gun yourself. And that's exactly what they're going to do. They're so sure he was involved with Oklahoma that they were going to blast him, you know. That just shows you got to be very careful. If the FBI comes to your house to question you, be very careful not to do. Because wasn't there a deal with the Sarnoff brothers? Something about a decorative knife or sword or something on the wall?
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised they didn't do the same kind of trip. And say, hey, show us that sword that you got there. And then they had an excuse to shoot him.
Well, again, go back and study the history of COINTELPRO and certainly the history of the Oklahoma City bombing, where they were trying to craft a cover story. The FBI are not the good guys. They are America's equivalent of the Gestapo. They exist to enforce the will of the rulers and not much of anything else.
Do you want to update on Terry? Terry,
yes.
Nichols?
Yes.
You know, he's been in prison 27 years, I think it is.
Yes.
For most of the time, he was in solitary, couldn't talk to anybody. The guards started talking to him. The guards liked him. And the warden said, no more talking to Terry. Now, just now, after all these years, they're starting to let him out in general population so he can actually talk to people. And he's been painting landscapes. So the prison, being the wonderful people they are, they're going to let him paint murals on the prison walls.
Oh, that's good.
So that's what's going on with him. I'm trying to work on one of his relatives to call into John's show and kind of, you know, talk about him and everything. I have a good friend who's been writing to him ever since he's been in prison. He writes these huge, long letters. I guess he's got all kinds of time, you know.
Yes, I can imagine.
That's all he can really do. So
all
anyway,
right, well,
that's just kind of a little update on theory.
All right, well, thank you very much for the update. And Terry, unfortunately, is one of these people who are kept in prison because they're an embarrassment to the government, like Mumia Al-Jabbar and Leonard Peltier. And these are people who apparently have not done anything wrong, but the government needed a patsy to say, oh, these people are bad and we've solved the crime. Again, going back, looking at Bruno Richard Hauptmann, who was executed for the kidnapping and death of the Lindbergh baby, and then years later it came on out, he'd been framed, he'd been railroaded, and the FBI was involved in that. So that's the reality that we're all living under. Laura, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch to Steve in California. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of days ago, I caught an interview with Amy Goodman with Noam Chomsky. It was a couple, it was recent. I can't remember how many months back. And it was interesting interview in that Noam Chomsky mentioned Moab, the mother of all bombs, and the Syrian missile crisis, and that there really was no objective to it other than boosting the approval rating and making the appearance that Donald Trump was a very strong president, a very strong man. It had nothing more to do with that other than right there. Just an image booster, basically, is what he said. I agree with that. I agree with that comment.
Okay. Well, Chomsky says a lot of really good things, and like I said, we linked to one of his articles or one of his interviews today, where he basically says the whole world knows this Russia hacked the DNC server is a fake news, and the world is basically laughing at us because we're not standing up and denouncing our corporate media for lying to us like this. Of course, obviously, the rest of the world is apparently unaware of the independent media because we're certainly standing up and pointing the finger of ridicule at the corporate media. Because again, the story doesn't make any sense. The corporate media has been in the business of spinning fairy tales for so long, it almost seems like they've actually forgotten how to report real news. And maybe that's why they can't change.
He did mention in his interview with her, it was a pretty long interview, that the chemical attack, it made no sense, zero sense, why Bashar al-Assad would do such a thing when he was winning the war. He did admit that, but then it was interesting that he did refer to Bashar al-Assad as a cruel dictator. I was kind of puzzled by saying that he didn't do these things. It made no sense that he would attack his own people, the support of his own people, by doing such a terrible thing, but then later on referred to him as a cruel, evil dictator. I was kind of puzzled by that comment myself.
Well, Noam Chomsky is probably still too dependent on the corporate media point of view, or he's got allegiances that basically say this is what you're going to push. But it was good that he came on out there, and maybe it was trying to maintain his own credibility by saying, yeah, this story is just too ridiculous to try and sell to the American people. So we're going to say, yeah, it was a bogus story, but he's still a cruel, evil dictator and needs to be removed. And
right.
It would almost seem like that now they're in a position of having to adjust the propaganda, throw out a trial balloon. Is this going to work? No. Well, then we'll pull back and we'll try something else. But again, all those conflicting trial balloons are why the propaganda campaign is failing miserably, because for propaganda to work, it has to present a coherent, believable, alternative reality to place in front of the real world. And when you have all your propaganda being created by ad agencies and public relations firms. There's no narrative, there's no continuity, and that's why it's not as effective.
Well put. I couldn't said it better. That's great. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Now, getting on back to the news. Down in Israel, Israel has just cut vital services to 140,000 Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds. They're cutting off water and other vital services to two crowded districts of East Jerusalem, which are in the occupied West Bank. The sanitation conditions are already severely deteriorated. Israel's point of view is they're not responsible for those districts. What looks like is they just want the people to leave so Jerusalem, or rather Israel, can come on back in. Now, a big problem for Donald Trump, as you know, he still is holding out hope for some kind of a peace deal between Israel and Palestine. Every president coming into office sees as one of the great things they could accomplish for their legacy is final peace between Israel and Palestine. And, of course, it never happens because that's not what Israel wants. But apparently Trump is under a great deal of pressure to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move the embassy there. And earlier on it said he was going to do it. Then he said he wasn't going to do it. Israel certainly wants it to happen. There's only one problem. Every single president for the past 22 years has been pressured to move to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and they don't because it would preempt the Oslo Accords and negate Washington's presumed role as an honest broker in the region. If Trump were to move the embassy to Jerusalem and say, we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it is the end of any pretense the United States has of being an impartial arbiter in the Middle East, not that anybody believes they are anymore anyway, especially since 9/11. Now, apparently, yesterday, following Memorial Day, there was a group of anti-war protesters, consisting primarily of Veterans for Peace, who confronted President Trump about the endless wars. And they're out there saying it has to stop. This was being led by the president of Veterans for Peace, Barry Lindendorf, saying it has to stop. What are these wars accomplishing? How are they making the United States better? They certainly are destroying the United States' image around the world of being some kind of human rights advocate, or benevolent overseer of the planet. And what's really alarming is Donald Trump himself, in discussing foreign policy, seems to have moved away from this idea that we are really doing this for the betterment of all planet Earth. And he's simply back to saying, we're going to take over this place, and we're going to take over this place, and we're going to take over this place. You know, today, Syria, tomorrow, Seville, and so forth, which is kind of alarming there. All right, another phone call. Dan in Washington, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking the call. I want to comment on Noam Chomsky. Some of my parents were a fan of his, and I've just never respected his opinion because I think he's Jewish, but he'll blame everything on the military-industrial complex, and then sometimes he'll talk about Zionism. He'll never talk about Jewish influence like on American media or our government or these types of things. So, and it's very similar to Amy Goodman, where I just feel like they're hypocrites because they just kind of blame, distort the facts and distract from basically Jewish power in America. And that's, they're kind of...
Again, I want to be cautious about painting with too wide a brush. I mean, Noam Chomsky is certainly not being inaccurate when he talks about the huge drain on the nation's gross domestic product by the military-industrial complex, again, his insights into the global perception of the Seth Rich case and the DNC hacking case is accurate. And we need to be really, really careful, again, that I really resist you using the words Jew or Jewish because when I criticize the government of Israel, I'm going to say we're criticizing the government of Israel and these few individuals. And I don't want to get on to a situation of saying the Jews do this. I don't want to get into a situation of saying the blacks are all doing this, or I'm going to say the Hispanics are all doing that. That's when you get in some very reckless kind of reporting, and it's bad journalism to be doing that. Now, anybody in front of a microphone or in front of a camera is coming into the situation with their own preconceptions and biases. You can't eliminate it. I mean, I've got mine coming on in there. So I think what you need to do for any of these people, whether it's Amy Goodman or Noam Chomsky or Michael Rivera or John Stedmiller, is you take what they say on a case-by-case basis and evaluate it for yourself. And some of it's going to be good, and you're going to say, I agree with that, and some of it you're going to say, I don't agree with that, and that is really the most rational way of dealing with what you're seeing coming out of any form of media.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, it's like, I guess so you could say Jewish mafia as far as the media in America. I mean, people say it's the corporate
I say it's the corporate media, and yes, there's a disproportionate number of people of the Jewish faith in there. But again, I have to come on back and say, when I worked in Hollywood, I knew a lot of Jewish people who were just wonderful. And that's another reason, you know, especially Renee Valenti. She was like my second mother. And so that's why I don't want to paint with a brush Jewish this, Jewish that. It's not fair, no matter who you do it to. It's not fair to the Muslims. It's not fair to the blacks. Let's talk about individuals who are doing bad things. Got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones here. Mike in Alaska, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I had a question. I was wondering if Hawaii bans you from having any kind of cryptocurrency, or what happened down there with that?
It was a specific cryptocurrency. I'd been approached by them about learning how to use their wallet. I'm way behind the curve on cryptocurrency. I will admit it. I'm late to the game on that. And I can't even remember the name of the specific cryptocurrency. It wasn't Bitcoin. It was one of the other new ones. And we were just getting started, and I had a wallet, and there was some of these crypto coins in there. And then all of a sudden, Hawaii passed a law. Apparently, they decided that this particular system was fraudulent, and they basically banned it in Hawaii. So I just basically shut down, and that was the last of that. I don't know if it's banned anywhere else, and I don't even know if it's maybe because our legislators don't understand cryptocurrency, but that was my one and only foray into cryptocurrencies.
Okay. I'll send you an email. The only reason I brought it up is I think that, you know, you can find one that you can have, and then I think you can get quite a few donations that way. I would definitely. I was looking for that on your site. But, Mike, I wanted to ask you one thing. I'm thinking that this Trump stuff has a lot to do with what happened in the 60s with the Immigration Act. And I was looking through your website on that, and I was coming back into the country through immigration, through customs the other day, and it got me thinking about that we've added 80 million new people at a rate of over a million a year since, I think it's 65. And this, I think this explains the Trump thing much more than, I like what you have on the wars and the, you know, bankers' wars and things like that, but we got a lot of people, and a lot of them don't get along even with one another, and I travel all over, and I see it all the time. And I just, there's many, many countries, especially in Asia, where you can't become that place. You cannot become, you or I cannot become, for example, Taiwanese. So,
yes.
But everyone can come here. And then, you know, I didn't used to think about it, but then when I travel, I see it. And then I see that, you know, that group doesn't get along with this group. Well, guess what? They're both in Hawaii, for example. That to me, that's crazy.
Well, see, here's the thing. Our Polynesian makeup goes back for generations, all the way back to the plantation era, when the missionaries and whalers brought measles to the island and just decimated the indigenous population, and a lot of the other native Hawaiians decided they wanted to see the rest of the world. So they would sign up to serve as crew on the whaling ships and cargo ships. And so the plantation owners literally brought in workers from the Philippines and China and Japan. And so our multiracial society has been multiracial for a number of generations. And so there isn't a lot of discrimination. Everybody's a minority here. We all get along just fine. Anyway, Mike, got to let you go. Got to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Let's get this man to the ER, stat. Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.